Yeah, it looks like we gonna get a good lots of people here in about an hour. Daylight savings time, I think, consumed a great many people in sleep. All perfect, right? Okay. So welcome everyone to the gathering. This is my first gathering given here from beautiful La Vida, Colorado. It is an overcast morning. That's unusual for La Vida. Usually we are given a beautiful sunrise with light on the mountains. And but the inner joy is there 100%. So let's get started by just taking a minute to open our hearts to everyone, reach out to everyone, and say hi. I'll turn it back to you, Don, to play our opening song.
To the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thanks, Dawn. And we'd like to restate our statement of purpose in awakening together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern, excuse me, one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'm going to highlight the second core value, that we realize that everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. And for me, living this core value means you don't correct people. You don't think that you know more than someone else, nor do you necessarily think nor that other people are better than you either. We're all equal, and we can receive inspiration and guidance from spirit, sometimes through each other, that it's so important to honor the sanctity of each person and exactly where they are. And I've seen such healing occur when I do that, and when that is given to me to just accept where I'm at, it becomes quite clear what needs to be corrected. So that's a really beautiful core value to practice. Some announcements this morning. Awakening Together's fall retreat has been announced. People have already started to register, and it will be held at our retreat house right across the road there from me, about 100 feet away. And everyone will be able to stay within a mile of the retreat house. And the retreat house will be held in our downstairs meditation and contemplation room. And this can hold about 23 people. So the space is limited. So if you do want to attend, register for it soon, because once we're full, we'll have to keep a waiting list for those that want to attend if there's a cancellation. Now there is two different retreats we're offering this October, and you can come to either one or both. And the first retreat is a self-awareness retreat, which includes contemplation, meditation, and dyads. And the second is the satsang and sangha retreat. And that's where we're going to spend time in satsang together and time playing together as well, going out doing activities in that retreat. So both retreats are near the end of October. And if you want full details and also various lodging options, go to awakening-together.org, our site, and look under retreats and classes for AT Fall Retreat Dash October 2019. So the second announcement, and regarding our next MPP class, which is Understanding Purification, awesome class. Registration for the Tuesday class ends today. That's Sunday the 10th. And registration for this Thursday class ends in a couple of days. Well, actually, oh, for the Thursday class ends in a couple of days. So if you plan to take this class, remember to register ASAP. And it's based on Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. It's an excellent class for learning about the mind, how to hold, how you hold, and how we clasp and cling to the mind. There's some really funny analogies he has in that book. If you haven't read it, they stick with you pretty much forever. And how to break that hold. So for the full details, go to our site, awakening-together.org, and look under the classes menu under retreats and classes. And our third and last announcement, Awakening Together is holding a 5-day self-inquiry dyad retreat at our retreat house from April 15th to 19th. And this is the most popular retreat we have yet. There's still plenty of space at the retreat since we can register up to 22 participants for the retreat. However, lodging at the retreat house is already full. So if you'd like to attend, if you're interested in attending this retreat, we recommend getting a private cabin at Two Fox Cabins in La Vida. And you'll find the Two Fox Cabins is a really price-effective place. And I've been there. It's really cool. Inside there, it's really cozy and perfect for the kind of contemplation that it really fits the energy of what we're doing here with the retreat in general, the inner work. And it will enable you to prepare your own breakfast and dinners before and after the retreat each day. You'll also have the quiet that's necessary for an effective experience at the retreat, which is, I think, a huge benefit. The website is twofoxcabins.com. Dyads are an incredibly powerful way to practice self-inquiry. It's possible that you will make more progress in 1 week at a dyad retreat than you will 1 or 2 years of self-inquiry alone. So please consider this wonderful opportunity. For full details, go to awakening-together.org and look under retreats and classes, retreats at the retreat house. So glad to see everyone else that has come in. Glad you did your daylight savings time. It's easy to forget. So join me in prayer as we bring in the invocation. Dear God, infinite being and love, Holy Spirit, I open my heart and my mind to you. I trust the wisdom and guidance that comes from that one true source as my only guide. I put forth my trust and willingness to walk the path of purification and healing that shall make way clear to live in peace and presence eternally. Amen. All right, we're going to play our first song, Leah Michelle, To Find You. Don Fernandez has got that queued up.
Lately, life is like a dream, watching it through a smoky screen, finding ways to slip away, till I can be with you someday. In the darkness, you call my name, but only an echo came. I can hear you, I'm following your voice. I'll travel through the night. I'll follow the fireflies. The wolves may call, my head may fall. Your voice will that I see you every place. People say I've lost my mind. I'm starting to wonder if they're right. But my heart knows it can't be wrong. When the wind blows, I know that song. I can hear you, I'm following your voice. I'll travel through the night. I'll follow the fireflies. The wolves may call, my head may fall. Your voice will guide me through it. I'll smile through the pain. I'll search tonight. Forget my name to find you. With a song
beautiful. Thank you, Don. You know, Sean and I were talking about the other day how you can take literally any song, and if you interpret it with Holy Spirit, it becomes something completely different than what it was originally intended, maybe by the songwriter. And I, when I listened to that song, To Find You, it was talking about God to me, the God that's within and around everything in us. Next, we're going to have our reading today in the service, and Shauna will be our reader. She's going to be reading from NTI, and Spirit guided me to NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Shauna, turning the mic over to you.
Good morning, all. Thank you, Jay, for that song. I've never heard that one before. That's lovely. Voice will guide us through. So if anybody wants to read along, it's NTI chapter on page 323. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Heaven is within you. This is a statement that you may take as truth. This statement is truth because of who you are in truth. You seem to be a man or a woman, an individual soul within a body, within a world, within a cosmos. This seems to be who you are, but this is not a fact. This is a perception. It seems that you are within and everything else is without. This seems to be, but this is not true. So I ask you to start with you, which you know is within, and discover that the world and heaven are within you also. This seems to be a bold statement, but it is not. It is only a simple statement of fact, which you shall see as you come with me to seek within. Let's start with you, which you know is within, and let's ask this question. What are you? Do not be tempted to define yourself by what seems without. Let's stay focused within. If you forget the world and everything that you perceive as not within, and then you look deeply within and ask the question I have asked, what answer comes immediately to your mind? I am my thoughts. That may be your answer, is it not? When you look within, where you know you are, and you ask the question, what am I? You find that you are your thoughts. What are your thoughts? Where do they come from? If you are your thoughts, and you want to know the origin of you, don't you also need to know the origin of your thoughts? So let's look within. Deeply and peacefully and without a sense of hurry. Let's ask, what are my thoughts? What is their origin? The answer you may hear is, my mind is their origin. But then ask, what is my mind? The answer to that is God, for only God can be mind, which is the origin of thoughts, with thoughts being the maker or definer of you. As we look at this, what do we see? You are an aspect of thought within the mind of God. And all of this, we find, is known and realized within the mind that is you. You are in God. And God, there is no separation. The kingdom of God is within you. You are who you are, just as I am who I am. There is no difference. We are within the mind, so that our truth is within the mind. Where our truth is, reality must be also. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. That was beautiful. It's nice to hear you in the other room with my physical ears and in my earphones. Kind of funny. You know, the humbleness that comes from realizing that we are within the mind of God and that we are an aspect of the thought. We are aspect of thought within the mind of God brings me to devotion. And I've touched in this last week such a deep devotion that I don't think I've ever felt before. Such a humbleness and a gratefulness. I've had some kind of Joe versus the volcano moments of, you know, dear God, thank you for my life. Just filling up within me because I feel I've been given so much. Guided to this beautiful place, being given the means to buy this property, being given a roommate who shares the same spiritual path that I do, right next to an amazing God-inspired venture called the Awakening Together Retreat House. I've had more contact with Regina and Jacqueline consecutively than I ever have in the last 8 years already, which is neat. So I feel very blessed to be in this position and very grateful. And I hope y'all join me in this gratitude with whatever it is in your life right now that you're just so incredibly grateful for and you feel has been given to you. Because that's what we're doing here, right? We're knowing the truth. We're knowing God. We're waking up, awakening to the truth that already is. And we ask ourselves this, and it's not just an idle question. I'm in year 3 gentle healing, and it's not about the words. It's not about our concepts. It's about what you do with them and where you go with them. And to just give up fighting your thoughts and fighting your mind and trying in any kind of way that's other than surrendering and willingness and going within. You know, the whole start of this chapter was that heaven is within you, and more talk about don't try to define yourself as what's outside of you and around you. You know, in the Matrix movie, which many of you have seen, Neo comes to a point where he asks Trinity, when he was going back into the Matrix, realizing it was a dream and commenting on a noodles joint that he used to eat at, how he liked that. And he said, wow, these memories are going to be with me forever, for my lifetime. What does that mean? And she said, it means that the Matrix cannot tell you who you are. The memories of all the things that we think we've done, whether they be screw-ups that you judge yourself for or incredible successes that you take great pride in, cannot define you. They can't tell you who you are because that isn't who you are. That's the play of mind that exists within your seeming experience. If we hold that lightly, we can move to truth. I touched into a feeling driving to Pueblo yesterday, and I want to share about it because it was really profound. And I've, you know, deepened and renewed my meditation practice. I'm getting up very early in the morning. I'm practicing the contemplations. I was praying to God that any desire I have in my heart that is not for God be removed from me because I didn't want it anymore. I didn't want to want anything that's not of God, of awakening. And I feel like God kind of answered that prayer a little bit because there's some habitual thoughts I've used to have that magically have disappeared. I don't have them anymore. And I believe that that prayer was answered. They're literally gone. It's not there anymore. And on the way to Pueblo when I was driving, I was just in such gratitude. And just driving, and I was just filled with a feeling I don't really recall ever having. And it was just such a holiness and a feeling of innocence that, you know, it's hard to put into words, but you know, it kind of chokes you up when you get into that space. So let me just take a minute here. Otherwise, I'm going to get choked up. You know, that thought of heaven being within you is not just words. You know, it's a real experience. And you know, when we ask the question, what are we? What am I? You know, and we go past the outer definitions, the relationships you have, the career you've had, whether it be, in your view, successful or unsuccessful, or how you consider your body, whether you think you're pretty or ugly, or whether you're male or female, just like it talks about here. You're not these things. You're a being of God. We're truth. We're living love. We're truth. And, you know, it just sounds like a tired old thing I'm saying, but really watch your mind. You know, when you're tempted to define yourself that way, stay with yourself. You know, like the Course in Miracles says, there's no private thoughts. You know, God sees what's in your heart. You can't hide anything from God. It's you can't hide anything from what you are. You know, it's our mind thinking that we can do that. That's the problem. Or we get into one of a million different traps. It's going, you know, behind those thoughts. You know, like it says here, well, I am mind. I am these thoughts. Well, you got to go deeper. That's God. You know, and the whole idea of overcoming that separation is admitting that, not just intellectually, but really letting it in. Realizing you're holy. You know, you are holy. I opened also to contemplating who am I. This is a book I was drawn to as part of this talk today, as part of this gathering. And this is page 58. Do not try to prevent thoughts from arising, and do not cling to any that have arisen. Let thoughts appear and disappear as they will. Don't struggle with them. You need only unremittingly and with all your heart ask yourself, what is my own mind? I keep urging this because I want to bring you to self-realization. When you persistently try to understand, parentheses, with the intellect, parentheses, what is beyond the domain of the intellect, you are bound to reach a dead end, completely baffled, but push on. Sitting or standing, walking or sleeping, probe tirelessly to your deepest self with the question, what is my own mind? Fear nothing but the failure to experience your true nature. This is Zen practice. When this intense questioning envelops every inch of you and penetrates the very bottom of all bottoms, the question will suddenly burst and the substance of the Buddha mind will be revealed just as a mirror in a box that can reflect its surroundings only after the box is broken apart. The radiance of this mind will light up every corner of a universe free of even a single blemish. You will be liberated at last from all entanglements within the six realms. Don't get too caught up in what the six realms is. Just all effects of evil actions having vanished. All effects of evil actions having vanished. The joy of this moment cannot possibly be put into words. Consider a person suffering intensely in a dream where, having fallen into hell, is being tortured. Once he awakens, his suffering ceases, for he is now liberated from this delusion. In the same way, through self-realization, one frees himself from the sufferings of birth and death. For enlightenment, but nobility of birth, or wide learning, but only strong determination, is essential. Buddhas bear the same relation to sentient beings as water does to ice. Ice, like stone or brick, cannot flow. But when it melts, it flows freely into conformity with its surroundings. So long as one remains in a state of delusion, he is like ice. Upon realization, he becomes as exquisitely free as water. And remember, there is no ice which does not return to water. So you will understand there is no difference between ordinary beings and Buddhas except one thing, delusion. When it is dissolved, they are identical. And one of the things that I wrote in a contemplation on number 112 in the third year of general healing, the contemplation was the idea that you know what truth is dangerous, for it keeps you imprisoned in the mind. It is when you do not know, you are free to investigate. And what came to me as the purpose was the truth worth fighting for is not truth, it's mind belief. Imprisonment in the mind makes one feel like a caged animal and gets aggressive if challenged and seeks dominance. The real truth, that which is within, is like the wind or like water and merely fills the surroundings and surrounds you most easily. Air and water are what sustain life. Excellent analogy, because the real truth that spirit and God are what sustain us at a basic level. Spirit is all around and in us. What is true cannot be known by the brain. It must be experienced as a living truth beyond words. And my practice is allow my attention to flow out of the prison into whatever I remember today and touch source where I am guided truly. And I thought that was so relevant to what I was guided to read here and this talk and what Corinthians 12 is talking about. And of course, that's easier said than done. You know, as we walk the path of looking within, as we go within, as we ask, as we look, as we face the things that come up, we're tempted to judge, we're tempted to get caught. Some of the things we face, we feel are bigger than us. As we go within, some of the things we face, some of us, what we may think of as sins of our past, may seem bigger than us, may seem unforgivable, or a situation in your life may seem completely bigger than you, or something you can't change. But nothing's impossible for God. Because when you truly do surrender and forgive and turn within, anything's possible. If one thing for certain is guaranteed, and that is your peace, and I can tell you that for absolute certain. I still have purification stuff that comes up. I'm still walking through that process. I don't so much identify myself with my past or my outer definition so much anymore, but there is still unhealed elements that come up. You know, this last week, there was a situation where about five things occurred in one day that I kind of lost it on the fifth one. So it was like I got to write out two pages of root cause inquiry and, you know, quickly got to the cause. And I'm grateful for how quick I can move through that process now and how seldom it does happen. But something Sean and I were talking about the other day is, you know, it doesn't stop until it stops. You know, given that little taste of that purity and cleanness and innocence and holiness in my being when I was driving to Pueblo yesterday was such an inspiration for me. It felt like just this beautiful, clear lake all the way into the deepest part of me, all the way as I was holding the hands on the wheel. And it was just utterly clear and clean. I just used the word clean because that's the word that describes it most for me. Like no desire for anything other than God, just pure desire. Yeah, I like that, Kathy. He says, Jesus took the wheel. That's beautiful, Kathy. Thank you. Like when you clean a glass and it's just sparkling clean, you know, and it just feels so good to drink a glass of water out of it because you know there's not stains on it. What I realized recently is I can't do this alone. I can't purify my mind. I can't remove desires from my own heart. I cannot want them anymore and let them fade. But some things are stuck pretty deeply in our minds, right? And we need help. We need to pray about it. Dear God, please remove this, whatever it is, from my heart or even wanting it. I don't want to want this anymore, okay? Because you got to admit, you may want some things that aren't exactly spiritual, right? So you got to look at those things and wow, you know, if you really don't want to want those things anymore, pray about that. And that can shift. God really does come in and can remove that. Later in Corinthians in chapter 13, it starts talking about your mind is tricky. And I think it's something that Helen wrote in one of her posts this last week about how the mind can claim a victory if there is a shift in perception. And that's a trick. If you have a shift in perception, that's a movement towards healing, but it's not the healing you're looking for. And the mind's going to try to convince you that you got it, you won, you're done, you're good. Or if you overcome one or two purification elements, that you're good. You know, as you look within a little bit, maybe have a little peace. Just because I had this feeling of Jesus taking the wheel and this cleanness and purity and this, oh, there's a little deer running through the lawn. Oh, there's two of them. That's funny that that happened right when I'm saying that. That doesn't mean you're done. That was a taste. That's not a permanent state of my being yet. I don't reside in that place. I want to move along my path like those deer did when they just bounding forward, just moving and freely moving, bounding forward, nothing blocking them. It's, again, we are an aspect within the thought of the mind of God. When we do see these things, when this does come up, it's honestly true that discouragement can set in, right? We can all hit into that. But if we're not practicing, then we have no one to blame for our lack of progress, right? But it's important to not let yourself become discouraged, and let your desire for truth wane. You know, that has to be stoked. It has to be, have to throw logs into that fire. I really appreciate this group, this Sangha, this group of people, all these posts that people are putting up, people stepping up into teacher roles, and that are new, these little moments of incredible clarity and brilliance. And, just before I moved here to La Vida, that vision of Jesus coming to me, and these things inspire you, you can't let it dwindle. Can't do it alone. You gotta have that connection. You gotta let it in. And it is true that it's the narrow path, because there are so many tricks and trips, that you can fall down on. And, the key is determination. That's what we've got to have. And how can we build that desire to look within and do exactly what it is that, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is telling us to do? Stay focused within. And that intense desire for awakening and liberation that Michael Langford talks about doesn't come overnight, at least for me. And someone wrote on the board, I am determined to see. You've got to have the determination. But to me, the image of that came to me like it grows like a plant. And you know how a plant grows? Has anyone ever gardened? Kathy, I know she's gardened a lot. It takes time for plants to grow, right? It takes weeks. You got to water. And, I worked with plants when I was younger, involved in a different organization, and I was kicking them and I wasn't really paying attention. And I learned so much about how to respect the plants and care for them and let them grow and weed them and water. And then they grow strong and they can take the wind and they don't fall down, right? So our desire for awakening has to grow to where it's so strong it can take the wind and doesn't get knocked over. And so we've got to love our desire to want to awaken and treat it like a thing that needs to grow. And music, what the Thich Nhat Hanh talks about as nutriments, taking into our consciousness, letting our eyes and ears hear and see things that are wholesome and positive. It was like watching these violent action movies that I like to watch. I'm letting that go. I'm filling my mind with peaceful things and loving things and positive things rather than things that help need to look within rather than, and again, that's if you want to watch action movies, dear God, please help me remove from my heart the desire to want to watch these action violent movies. I don't want to want that anymore, dear God. Please help me, and it will be removed from you. If you really genuinely want it, you won't want it anymore. It'll be gone. Whatever that thing is that's blocking you, that you got to admit that you want, okay? Part of your mind wants it, and you know it's not healthy. You got to pray to let it go. You got to pray to let it go. Okay? Because the high winds are going to come. We all know the high winds are going to come. Those things in our life we don't expect that blindside us that are going to come up, okay? And speaking of winds, this is high wind season here in La Vida. So we have this howling wind that's around us quite a bit here, many of the days, which I don't think I'm going to be able to put out my wind chime because of that, because that's going to be more like a wind clamor or break the wind chime altogether. One of the things in a book I found called Spiritual Jokes, which isn't, they're not really jokes, but they have a lot of fun quotes in there. And one of them is, I don't want perfection, I want effort. Another one is, wake up determined, go to bed satisfied. Another one is, be happy, and a reason why will come along. So where are our answers gonna be found? And what do we feel satisfied with as we go through this process of looking within? And again, the mind will try to trick you to be satisfied with something that falls short of awakening. And it will give you tastes of the bliss that you can feel within. But letting go of your head and moving into your heart's a scary process. You go into fears that seem so deep sometimes that, you feel like you're really losing your sense of reference as you move within. Speaking about what was just written on the board about the fact that these houses are on a hill and that it's a target for where the wind is, what's coming to me right now from Spirit to talk about is as I drove up the hill to get to my house the other day, I did notice no wind down below in the town I live in, and there's really high wind here, and it's just not even a half mile away. When you put yourself in a position to go within and you want to face the fears you've created as an obstacle to God, you're going to face wind. You're going to face those fears. Do not be afraid of the fears. They will not kill you. I know that for a fact. I face some extremely deep fears, and I'm not dead. I'm alive, and I feel much better as a result of it. They won't kill you. They really won't. There's no reason to be afraid of fear. There really isn't. You don't have to be afraid of going within and moving through this process and looking inside. There's no past sin and mistake that you've done that is not forgivable, no matter how bad it is or how long you did it for. It really isn't. The truth is that we are love. We're playing with mind like a toy. And I wrote recently that the mind could be compared to a toy manufacturing facility. It's manufacturing thoughts, little toys we want to pick up and play with. Oh, this is interesting. This is a little fire truck. Let's play with this thought for a while. But moving into spiritual maturity, you put the toys down and you actually grow up and you move within and you have the genuine experience of the being that's behind the thought that is God. And you'll face all kinds of things in doing that. I'm not worthy for this joy. I'm not worthy to feel this. Following up on what Jacqueline with Spirit recently was talking to us about in the last homily, this magnificent grandeur opens up to you, incredible grandeur. You can't be a worthless piece of garbage and experience grandeur. Those two don't go together. You have to realize you're worthy of this. And through the surrender, through the humbleness, the greatness comes in. The greatness comes in. Oh my God, I can tell you for absolute certain it does. I'm starting to feel it for real. It's there, it exists, it's real. Doing this work will produce results. It will produce results. I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 145. I extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you. I'll praise your name forever. Great is the Lord and worthy of high praise. God's grandeur is beyond understanding. Our generation praises your deeds to the next and proclaims your mighty works and speaks of your splendor and of your glory. You know, there's that humbleness and that willingness to go within and be and let the mind that thinks it's God know that it's not God. The career you have, the personality qualities you have, the body you have, whether it's tall or short, whether you're male or female, that's not God. That's within God, and God is within you. It's merely a thought that confuses us, humans, and brings us to that place that's other than that joy and peace. Put down your toys. What are the toys you play with? That's a really good question to ask yourself. Do you like playing with the toys of fear? That toy has razor blades glued on the outside of it, and so that when you grab it, it like cuts your hand. That's horrible toy. Don't play with that toy. What are you playing with that toy for? Put it down. Jeez, stop that. God, what are you doing? My goodness. Maybe your toy is like 1,000 degrees hot and you pick it up. It burns your hand. Or maybe it's super freezing. Why, you know, we don't need to play with toys that hurt us. Why are we doing that? We don't need to do that. You know, like if you're a parent and you have kids, you know, you grab your kid before he goes across the street, or don't put that in your mouth. You know, if it's some toy that's dangerous, you know, toy companies have been sued because kids get hurt because the toy was dangerous. You know, well, we can't sue ourselves for playing with toy thoughts. I sue myself. You cannot play with fear anymore. I have banned you from doing that. No. Yeah, Michael Singer's analogy is awesome. Building the suit of armor around yourself so your thorns stay intact. You know, it's... What am I? I am my thoughts. What's behind my thoughts? That's my mind. What's behind my mind? That's God. I am within God and God is within me. I am an aspect of thought within the mind of God. I am an aspect of thought within the mind of God. Wake up determined, go to bed satisfied. Ever noticed your thoughts return when you wake up in the morning? They don't seem to stay gone, do they? They just keep coming back day after day. But when you wake up and you practice in the morning and you pray to God, dear God, please, I don't want to want this anymore. I don't want these thoughts anymore. And you contemplate, you meditate, you go within. You lay down the thing you think you are. You lay down the thing you think you are willingly on an altar into the fire. You willingly offer it. Willingly offer it. Just just do that with me right now. Let's just offer what we think we are to God. And let it be okay. Go within. Let's just do that right now. Let that be okay. All right? Okay. And let truth tell us what we are. Let truth tell us what we are. Let that presence be so real for you that you want to believe that instead of the fear. Let it call you like your father or mother or whoever took care of you as a kid, calling you home. Time for dinner. So as we practice this, we realize that there is something greater than our fears. There's something greater than who we think we are. It's love, it's God, it's truth, it's right here, Jesus. Buddha's there helping out. We're all here, it's so real, it's right here, it's what we are. You know, the things that we build as an edifice and an idol that we put before God are the very things that cause us pain. Those things are the toys with razor blades on them. They may look pretty, but they hurt you. They hurt you terribly. You don't want them. Pray that you do not want them anymore. And every desire is a setup for disappointment, even in the slightest way. Anything we want in form is a setup. We got to move from the ice state to that water state. Melt. Wicked Witch of the West, I'm melting. You're flowing out. And Regina's our Dorothy here. Helping us return home. Melt your heart, melt. What do you really want to hold on to? What's that little block of ice of fear in you? Oh, just come on, just let it melt a little bit. It's gonna be okay to just unclench that fist a little bit and just go, it's melting, falling through. And that wonderful dripping sound as the sun comes out and the water is just flowing, giving life to the plants, our desire for awakening, our desire to want to know truth. As other desires are removed, we can feel it and be it and walk it and live it. That drip, 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 every little drip is our practice of contemplation and meditation. Drip, 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 melting. Soon, a couple hours go by, a couple months go by, and all of a sudden the ice is so much less than what it was. It's melted. It's the fear doesn't hold you as much. That thing that's been with you for so long, the roommate. And Shauna, you're a great roommate, by the way. The roommate you don't want, the roommate that's in your head, right? That's the roommate that we want to melt. We want to melt it. So let's all melt into God together, and we're going to move into contemplation. I'm ending at 10 after, so we can have some more discussion and comments and talk. Let's be in this contemplation. You can donate if you're guided to. We do exist on your donations. We appreciate any donations you have to share. Dawn will play a song I love listening to. This is No Longer a Slave to Fear, sung by Zach Williams out of prison, actually. And that video has the great image of him singing to the prisoners, and some of the prisoners are real excited and devotional. So giving up the mic.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, until all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh,
thanks, Don. That song goes on for like another a while. That's beautiful, though. Great message, though. And I liked seeing all the prisoners. That was kind of cool. And it made me think of like how it talked about Jesus ministering to prostitutes and to tax collectors and stuff like that. Like, I guess they considered tax collectors the lowest form of humans. Yeah, thanks everybody. It was good to see everyone here and to see everyone's face. And I'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts and, you know, what's real for you right now. And please just raise your hand and take the mic and share what's on your heart right now. So, Regina, your mic.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. I just want to say, first of all, that was brilliant. And I'm sure people know I felt that way by the number of things I quoted. There were other things I would have quoted, but I but I just felt like every now and then I should take a break from typing. but it was brilliant. It's kind of interesting, the section you chose from NTI to read, NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because when I teach NTI, what I taught was that this is a place where I lost it. And by lost it, I mean I became afraid at one point. I became afraid when the question was asked, what is my mind? Because I was afraid to go beyond it. Just like you talked about in your talk, that it's difficult moving from the head to the heart because you feel like you're losing your reference point, right? The reference point you're used to. Well, that's exactly what happened to me in this section. So what happened after the question, what is my mind? The rest of that chapter, I did not feel like I actually received, although the words are fine. There's nothing wrong with the words. But I did not feel like I received that in a genuine way. I felt like I just went back to the intellectual knowledge I had learned from A Course in Miracles, and I started parroting. And the reason I bring that up now is because I can now tell the difference between when a person is, quote, teaching and what they're really doing is parroting their intellectual knowledge that they learned from somewhere, and when they're genuinely sharing from their own contemplation, their own seeing and meditation, their own insight. I know the difference. And again, when someone is parroting, just like these words are fine, there's nothing wrong with these words because I parroted from a good source. You know, when someone's parroting, there's often nothing wrong with the words, but there's just a difference in the quality. The quality of your talk today was perfect. I can absolutely tell that you're doing the work. I can absolutely tell that you are going within in a very sincere way. And I'm also absolutely certain that's where your experience came from yesterday. So I just wanted to say, I just wanted to acknowledge that I see what's going on. And of course, I pray that it continues. And I'm really happy that you're here with us. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina. I didn't know that you would had faced that in just 2 Corinthians chapter 12, but I guess that makes sense because of what you said about the reference points. And I feel a difference in me when I'm speaking from when I practice from versus parroting. And I've noticed, like you said, you can hear a difference in other people. I've definitely noticed a difference in me when I'm parroting versus is what I notice is I can even say the same words, like if I would parrot versus if I actually practiced and came from within. But like you said, the feeling of it is different. Use the exact same words in both scenarios, but just like you said, there's something in me that's coming through the words out that's greater, that's beyond words, I think. And it's neat to hear that you say you can feel that. Does anyone else care to, oh, and Dawn's recording it. Awesome. Yes. Yay. Anyone else want to share, have their hand up, whatever's on your mind, Jacqueline's cracking up. Does, anyone else want to share anything? What's on your heart? If anyone wants to share, instead of type, you can do that. We have a few minutes. Christina's hand is up. Ah, just saw it. Okay, Christina, your mic.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, because I'm new to this, so I'm just looking for, you know, what to do next. Anyway, but this seems to be easy. Anyway, so my thoughts, you said a lot of things, and I thank you for your sharing. It's really, really Beautiful. And how do you like Colorado there, La Vega? How high are you up on a mountain?
7,012 feet.
Oh, and the wind is strong?
7,012 feet, and the wind is strong. And we're right next to the mountain. We're in heaven, basically. I mean, that's where we are.
Wow,
we got
right,
air
man.
Running through the lawn. We got sweet-smelling air. We got nice people. This is a great little place. I love this place.
Good. Anyway, what I wanted to share is this. Beginning of last year, before Easter, it was March 4th, 2018, and I was sitting in meditation very early in the morning. It started like 5:30, and I asked God, you know, you were talking about the thoughts, and I just say, thank you, dear God. Please, I need your divine intervention now. So, and I started like early in the morning. So all depends every day. Anyway, so my prayer, I said, dear God, Jesus the Christ, Holy Spirit, please, please, please help me. I want only you, dear God, I want only you. And I don't want nothing else. I just want you. And I am certain that you are with me. You've already given me so many beautiful gifts, spiritual gifts. At 33, I received the most beautiful blessing from Jesus. And I said, now I'm requesting that I want only you. And please guide me because I do not know what anything is for. I don't know. I of myself know nothing, absolutely nothing. So I'm staying with you and I'm getting these interferences from the ego, you know, people and stuff. So I just want you, and I want to know, give me some kind of sign that I may understand. Okay, because I don't understand anything. As of my little self, I know nothing. So please give me a sign that I may understand, okay? And so I went back into meditation and I sat there and I felt so good because I felt the power and presence of God right here, right now. And I don't know how much time because it seems like time totally disappeared. There was no time. It's like a holy instant. So I just kept saying thank you and just being still and just staying in the awareness of love's presence. And I was sitting at the corner of my couch here with eyes closed, and I felt a soft touch on my right shoulder, okay? And like a voice, but not a verbal voice, like a whisper in my ear saying, look to your right. So I look to my right, and to my right is the front of the house. I'm inside the house, you know, it's early. And I look to my right, and I just lost it. I just fell down to my knees and started crying and saying thank you. Thank you. The most beautiful angel appeared on my wall right here in my kitchenette with a heart, the center of the heart chakra. I'm telling you, Jay and everyone, God is so real. And he gives a sign, and you talked about a sign today. And so I just, just dancing in the light, dancing with my angels. And so, I mean, I am just so grateful, so, so grateful. And so, again, I'm taking pictures because a thought came to my mind, and it wasn't from, you know, it was from me. I just kept saying, please, please stay here so I can take some pictures, you know, so I can take some pictures, please, please, please. So, I mean, I don't have a camera even, but I have my little track phone, flip phone, okay? And I thought, they said, use your little track phone. And I started taking pictures. And I'm just, every time I share, and I don't share it with everyone, but people that I'm guided to share with, and I've mailed them out. I've mailed some to John Mundy. I've mailed, you know, because they stay at least 30 minutes with me. And I see like a silhouette on my wall right now as I'm speaking to you. So we all have angels all around us. Angels all around us. And there's a celestial speed up now. So I'm going to go in May, go see this guy who's a healer from Australia. His name is Master John Douglas. He's going to be in Asheville, North Carolina, May 5th. And it's like I'm receiving, because I asked the angels and Jesus to please open up my heart and my higher mind, my higher self, that I may, follow your divine guidance. Always. Always, always. So maybe later on, if anyone, I don't know if I can put pictures on here, but on the site, you know, because I have them on my computer.
Christina, there's a place in the forum that we created this would be perfect for. Uh-huh. There's a channel, and it's called Inspirational Sharing. Uh-huh. And that if you could post your experience with the angels there and your picture too, you could do that. And that would be perfect. Place, and that's very private too, because, well, actually that is public, just to let you know, people can see that, they just log into the forum. So
is it on Awakening Together Radio?
It's on awakening-together.com/forum, and you can sign up for the forum there and post it on Inspirational Sharing, but it will be available to anyone that wants to join in.
Okay, I'll do that later.
Yeah.
But anyway, so because my prayer, original prayer was, Lord, I just want to know that I have forgiven myself, everyone and everything on this planet, in my life, everything. And I thank you, and please give me a sign. And that is my sign. All right? So thank you so much, and God bless you. And anyway, have a good life there. I'm going to check out the area. Well, I saw Lynn for a flash. Anyway, take care. How do I hang up?
Just click the mute button and you're good. Yeah, I felt the connection and the willingness, and those sort of surrender, tearful moments are happening with me a lot more often too. And I'm not had those much. I've been a more of an intellectual person. So I'm moving into a devotional phase that I'm really welcoming. That's opening up so much for me. I haven't had so much the visions of angels. I've heard singing of angels sometimes. This soft, faint, very beautiful voices singing sometimes, and felt more like the presence of Jesus actually, several times, and in my head visions of it. And I think we all have different experiences of the divine. And I think it's all meant to keep inspiring us to continue, like Regina said, pray that it continues, that my practice continues, that we keep growing that plant of that wanting for that complete awakening, for the complete surrender of the mind. And like Sean and I were talking about the other day, it's not over until it's over. You got to keep going. We got to stay determined. These things are inspiring us to keep going, being, let go, face the tricks, face the fears. They're not going to kill you. Let Christina's angels be with us all. We can all, those angels belong to all of us. It's not just Christina's vision. That's, she had that vision and shared it here because it's for all of us. That angel is on our wall too. It's everywhere. It's everyone's. And it is time to transition. So I'm going to, if we don't have time for a closing song, I had a really fun closing song, Evanescence, Wake Me Up Inside, kind of a energetic song. I don't know if you want to play that, Dawn, or transition over to Kate, whatever you, I'll leave that up to you. Love everybody. Thank you for sharing, Christina and Regina and Lynn and everyone. Love all of you guys. Thank you.